And I'm very dissatisfied. I'm not satisfied. We just had this massive revolution. It was going to be one of the happiest moments of our generation. If I was sitting with a bunch of white people right now, like, I would focus on the positives. But I'm with my people right now. And we need to talk about, like, listen, we have some demons that we really need to deal with. Fuck BIPOC. I don't give a fuck about BIPOC. No. What the fuck does a Gujarati know about me?
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know about a Gujarati? Obviously, we have similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I come into these circles as a Bangladeshi. Obviously, we're at the bottom of the ring. I got into DJing for, like, very unfortunate reasons. It's because I got into, like, all sorts of terrible, horrible legal shit. I also, there's a, maybe I'll say this.
Little exclusive.
The little exclusive.
We got the exclusive for you.
And another fucking annoying thing about Bangladesh is just one thing to my crowd.
Last one, y'all.
Y'all pay my bills, and, like, I love y'all. Yeah. But y'all cannot, please, stop.
Thank you so much for coming back to another episode of Difficult Dish. We're on this episode. We went all the way out to Toronto, Canada, to speak with the one and only Damir Khan. Damir is a musician, producer, DJ, all-around artist, born and bred in Bangladesh. He's someone who also proudly represents our people, our culture, all of it, and is so eager to share it to the entire world. This episode is real special because Damir gives us a real inside look into what being Bangladeshi really means, what the reality of life is like out there, and all the things us Westerners can do more of to show love and appreciation for all our people. Whether you're Bengali or not, I highly encourage you to stick around for this one. We got some mic inconsistencies, lighting inconsistencies. Just deal with it, okay? There's so much to unpack and to digest, and this one's just special, man. So without further ado, let's get into it. Thank you so much. Come back to another episode of Difficult Dish. Podcast about South Asian narratives, hosted by my co-host right here,
Mahua Khan, hosted by my co-host right here.
I'm the co-host. My name is Marshall Manier. And you know, if you're watching it on video, we got someone special in the building. Okay,
not
we got
someone special, something special in general. Oh. But continue.
Kind of different, yeah. You know, new co-host, permanent co-host on the podcast, joining us on every episode. He gave us this beautiful penthouse to record in today. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Yo, what's up, everybody? My name is Damir.
Oh, my God.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God. Well, he's a humble guy. All right. Yeah. This guy's a humble guy. All right.
He said it so casually with his deepest voice that you could think of, too.
All right. So, Damir, today I got a little introduction for you. I wrote quick, nothing crazy, but, you know, just to introduce, get the people familiarized, you know, who we got going
on. Let's hear it.
Today we got a super special guest on the pod. This man is a Bangladeshi sensation. He's wow. Making waves across the globe as a musician, producer, DJ, all-around artist, innovator, and a real product of our people, introducing our country and its culture to the world. We are so blessed and honored to have this young man on the pod. We got Damir Khan on the pod today. Yes, sir.
Our fellow Khan. We came all the way to Toronto just to have him on the pod. This is our first, by the way.
Mobile movement.
First movement episode.
First mobile episode.
This is a big deal.
You know, new little backdrop we got going on. Hope y'all like it. We in Toronto. We kicking with Damir. Damir, what's going on, man? How are you? What's up?
Yeah, man, it's good. It's a nice summer day in Toronto.
It is.
We just did a show last night. We brought in a New Delhi icon, Lush Lata.
Okay.
Set for us.
Y'all went crazy.
And yeah, I'm in Toronto. I'm trying to move to Toronto. I'm looking for houses.
Yeah.
Damir.
Yeah.
So this penthouse actually is a secret.
We're
house.
I wish. We're liars, guys.
He's actually looking for a home. If anyone is offering, an extra room for him, he's down. But also, if anyone knows how to expedite the visa process in America,
right? If anyone got any like connections,
he's also looking to come to New York.
Anybody wants to marry me in America?
He went straight to it. I don't want to say. He said it.
You know, it's open. You have my email.
Oh,
they gotta reach out with their bio data to your email.
Yeah, we'll set up a Google calendar with my mom.
Okay,
it's kind of official.
There we go. You got
figured
type.
Out. It's tough.
Are you specific?
I ain't got no type.
No type. I ain't got no type. You good?
I love all human beings.
I like that.
All women.
Right. Was there not to like about this guy, man?
Exactly.
This guy. Damir, thank you so much for coming on the pod today.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. You know, I personally told you that I'm a big fan, man.
He's been talking about you for months.
I've been talking about it for a while, man. From the music to the DJ mixes, you know, everything. I'm a big fan. You want to introduce like yourself? Like, how would you put yourself in your own words? Like, who is Damir? How would you tell yourself about the people?
Yeah. Okay. So, I started making music when I was about like 14, 15. Like, I started writing my own songs. I was playing guitar from much younger. I come from a very musical family from my dad's side. My father is the drummer of a very legendary band called Renesa.
Okay.
In Bangladesh. And his brother is, like, the lead singer. So I've been around, like, music and the larger musicians community of Bangladesh would, you know, regularly come to our house for chanasta and all that. So
okay.
I had a really wonderful hands-off education into Bangladeshi music because of that. And started making all sorts of stuff. I was in Dhaka at the time. And
so you born and raised there, right?
I was born and raised in Dhaka. I spent some time elsewhere. Around the end of high school, I moved to Malaysia. So I was in Kuala Lumpur for 4 years.
Oh.
And then I was in Ghana for a year.
Wow.
Oh my.
Why Ghana?
For a year. My mom's job, like, that's she's some corporate girl boss. So, like, she just...
Right.
Corporate girl boss.
She made it happen. You know, she made it happen.
Girl bossed her way out of the Bangladesh one. And we got to Malaysia.
I like that.
And I was like, yeah, like, I get my music from my dad. But really, my mom is the reason why any of us have anything.
Mm.
Like, she really runs the family, and mm-hmm. she really is like the, you know, big boss.
No, love that. Okay. Love that.
And yeah, we're nothing without her. So yeah, like, she was in Ghana for like 3 years, and I was only there for a year, and then I moved to Montreal to study economics and political science.
Oh my god.
Wow, that's completely different.
I can tell you, like, love that shit, like, by, like, your face.
most definitely. Poli-sci glasses here. But I was making all sorts of stuff. It just happened to be that, like, the first time a label gave a shit about anything I was making was when I made my first, like, singer-songwriter tune. I was making, like, house, techno, like, all sorts of random stuff. But there was this Berlin-based label called Majestic Casual that took my stuff when I was like 19, something like that. I'd moved to Malaysia by that point. And that's kind of how I got my career started.
Okay.
So I got a record deal from a German label.
Mm. You said Majestic Casual?
That was Majestic.
They got like a big YouTube channel, right?
They were huge. And they basically come from a time where it was before Spotify was really, really big. And people were still discovering a lot of music through YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah.
Now nobody really discovers music on YouTube like they used to. But there used to be, you know, lots of curation pages that specifically would find all the coolest, specifically electronic music from around the internet and post it on those pages. Mm-hmm. So. Majestic was one of them. So that really allowed me to have a really unique start to my music.
Okay.
And really set me apart from the rest of the Bangladeshi, you know, acts. And my whole sound, my whole look, everything because of that, you know, had a really interesting, unique, different start because of that start.
Mm.
But it all came from an email. I mean, I was sending those emails from Dhaka. Anybody could be sending those emails.
Right.
So you were the one that was like pitching yourself then.
I was sending my shit to like...
He the manager, he
wow.
everything. You're the manager, you're the manager.
Yeah. Then, you know, I didn't even know what I was doing. I just wanted people to hear my music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So before all that, growing up, I want to hear just a little bit more about, you know, what was it like? What was like the family situation, the family kind of circumstances like?
Definitely, like, it was difficult. Listen, my father was part of a generation of musicians that was a golden generation.
I agree.
The quality of which you get from that, like, early 80s Chittagong, like, so they were in a band called Souls. Souls had a bunch of people. They not just had, like, my dad and his brother, but they also had Ayub Bachchu. They had, I'm blanking, but there's, like, I'm pretty sure Kumar Biswajit was also part of early Souls. Lots of cool people like that. So they, very few of them, very, very, very few of them were ever able to make a living out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no music industry. We still barely have a music industry in Bangladesh. Maybe
and
I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get into the details of this because
it's
something I want to talk about to people a little bit.
Yeah.
How ridiculously archaic our music industry is in Bangladesh.
Mm.
But for them, even though their music still gets played on radio today, have they ever been paid for radio? No.
Right.
Would they ever have the right, you know, IP lawyer to work out their royalties for, like, the fuck not? Of course not, you know? So all of them had to get day jobs. All of them eventually got married, had kids and everything. You can't do music full time when you're doing stuff like that. So my dad, unfortunately, had to do, you know, he had various businesses and other stuff like that. And now, mashallah, he's retired and everything. And now we're good. But, you know, he really was just like, wrong time, like, incredible generation of musicians, but so many of them unfortunately were not able to make a, you know, a respectable living from that stuff. So there's that being said, my mom was working all the time, and, you know, there was often, you know, my dad would be at shows my mom comes home late, you know, she's tired, and, you know, my dad's at the gate. You know,
right, he's kicking
out.
He's
and kicking she's out. Got two kids in the house that are, you know, like, all
no,
that.
No, love that.
My mom is a fucking superhero. Yeah. I don't know how she's done any of it. Absolute fucking superhero.
But I think it's interesting because, like, you said that music and culture is such a big part of Bangladeshi culture, you know?
Yeah.
And so many people have that in their DNA and in their family, but because it doesn't, there's a stereotype that it doesn't bring in money or it doesn't.
Yeah, you know, I challenge that.
Yeah.
I don't think we do.
Yeah.
Really?
I think maybe we used to. I don't think we do anymore.
Okay.
Last 20, 30 years, something's changed culturally in the Bengali people. I'm not going to speak about West Bengal. I don't know. But something, obviously, what's happened over the past 20 years, all of the real political strife, like post-war political strife, I think a lot of the stuff like Mujib, Zia onwards, even up to Irshad, was all about really like, we just went through a ridiculous war. How do we build this country after this ridiculous war? Post that, I think just like, we've just been asking ourselves for almost 3 decades now, what does it mean to be Bangladeshi? Is it that we're Muslim? Okay, most of us are, but, you know, no.
There's more
there's a lot
it,
of
yeah.
other religions in Bangladesh. Is it an ethnic group? No. There's tons of different ethnicities. I'm Chatgaya, you know. Tons of different ethnicities in Chittagong. Indigenous ethnicity, stuff like that. Do we have an economic idea, philosophy of who we are? Are we particularly socialist? Are we particularly capitalist? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the fuck are we?
Yeah.
You know, we don't fucking know. We don't know.
Like, there's still cultural building,
yeah,
you know?
We have these symbols. Okay, Nokshikatha. Okay, Jamdani. But, yeah, like, okay. Like, you just made a symbol. Like, there needs to be layers to, like, what our symbols mean, right? What they represent.
That's very interesting, you know, because, like, you know, from our side of the world, all we hear is, like, you know, people do that stuff for fun. Like, that's not that serious. Like,
what
over
stuff?
Here, like, you know,
music
I yeah, like,
yeah,
I...
Yeah, no, 100%. And I understand when you're a country that's building itself up, you want to do something that's going to give you a livable wage, that's going to allow you to feed your kids and, you know, have safety in your home and eat nutritious meals and have access to healthcare. And you don't get that as a musician. More so in Bangladesh, of course, we have serious, you know, like, other things. We have serious drug issues, you know, drug abuse issues. We have serious, serious substance abuse issues in the Bangladeshi musicians community.
That's so underground.
As you do everywhere in most countries. But it's a factor that when you don't have the money coming in and the respect from society coming in, you need to feel those happy hormones somehow. You need to feel those happy chemicals somehow. And people go to the darkest lengths, you know.
We're
getting ahead of ourselves.
Right, we're going ahead of ourselves. We'll get into that.
We're an interesting people.
Yeah.
In the South Asian climate, really, we have a really unique story that we're not telling properly.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree, because I didn't even know about all of that.
We've been through so much.
Yeah. I could tell that just by, like the amplification of your voice. Like, this is something that, like, you're very passionate about.
I am
very passionate, just like, and I'm very dissatisfied. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. We just had this massive revolution. It was going to be one of the happiest moments of our generations. You know, I grew up my whole life being someone that's interested in politics, philosophy, economics, all of this stuff. That is, like, what does it take to run a nation, to feed a nation, to satiate a nation emotionally? Like, all my life we have seen no freedom of speech. All my life we have seen no democracy. All my life we have seen political strife. Then we've also had moments of Islamic terrorism. We have moments of serious communal violence, religious violence. Obviously, the horrible gender-based violence we see every day. I mean, Bangladesh is known for a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
And I want us to start with some of the negatives, and we're going to end on the positives, because there's so many positives.
Yeah, you know?
No, but I love
it.
That you're not sugarcoating
Bangladesh
it.
It's, you know, it's like, because if I was sitting with a bunch of white people right now, like, I would focus on the positives, because it's
of course
not conducive for me to tell them, like, how messed up everything
right,
is.
Right, right, right.
But I'm with my people right now, and we need to talk about, like, listen, we have some demons that we really need to deal with right now. We have this massive diaspora right now. Like, okay, it's growing now. I have dedicated my last year or so, or 2 years, to, like, okay, I've moved to Canada. I'm not in Bangladesh anymore. I had to move to Canada because it is the classic Bangladeshi middle class dream to send your kids abroad.
Of course.
For me to deny this would be to deny my parents everything they ever wanted.
Right.
It's this weird, you
yeah
know.
It's like we're paying
with the
them
devil
for their
that
sacrifices.
We have in our, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll focus on Canada, I'll focus on the diaspora, but the diaspora is all on different wavelengths. We're all on massively different wavelengths.
What do you mean?
different socioeconomic backgrounds, different political backgrounds, depending on where, what city or what diaspora we're in. You know, what are the Sileti Bangalis in Whitechapel thinking? Who, a lot of them are lower income. A lot of them have been there for many, many generations and are still lower income.
Mm-hmm.
And have still not been given them the respect. But on the other end, there's a lot of obscenely rich and powerful Bengalis moving to the richest places of London.
Of course.
Buying the mansions in London, buying the stuff like that in London. It's not too dissimilar in Toronto. You know, I don't know. Now I've lost my train of thought.
Now you're in.
But it's just, we have been through so much for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started to read more about our people, you start to go back to, okay, let's go back to Mujib, then I can understand Bangladesh. No, then you have to learn of everything from post 47 after partition. You then learn up to post 47. Okay, then you have to learn about British era. You learn about British era. Okay, then you have to learn about Mughal era.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the Mughal era is like 400 years. And then we think of Mughals as these like, oh, they were just like us and they're like peacock throws. No, they're a bunch of Turkish people. Like, they're, you know, they were like Central Asian.
Yeah.
You know, I initially had this huge love for the Mughal Empire because I'm like, oh, it's going to be my Roman Empire. You know, it's going to be my, like,
our representation.
Oh, our thing. You know, that's when Bengal was funny. The best. Oh, we had Muslin and Marie Antoinette was wearing a Muslin gown and whatever. And that makes us cool. Like, I don't know anymore. You know, I read more into it and I'm like, where does my people start? Where do we start? I don't know. Do we start in the Shena dynasty, Pala dynasty, Mughal dynasty, British era? Mujib era, Awami League era, BNP, what are we? I don't know. What's happening right now? We've just had this revolution. Now all of the student leaders are losing their goddamn minds. You know? They're losing their goddamn minds. And they're 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
They're babies.
Yeah. They got more to worry about.
They're yet to fucking... They're still listening to Linkin Park. Like, fucking,
right.
You know?
Let them be kids.
Some of these people don't remember 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like...
They weren't even alive.
There's some of these people weren't... They're fucking 26. They're trying to... So what do you expect?
Yeah.
We have this anti-religious sentiment in Bangladesh where people in the upper class look down. I say, okay, the super religious people are coming in. Well, for the past 20, 30 years, we've done nothing but we've not invested in education. And the only education we've had throughout our country has been Islamic madrasa education. So say what you will about madrasa education, but it is educating our children. You know? So what do you expect, dude?
Yeah.
We got all these people complaining, what the fuck is happening to our country? What do you expect?
Yeah.
Unless you are putting the work in like I am putting in, where I am building, you know, proper like brick and mortar business for my people, you know, where we look for innovation, where we look for new ideas, where we look for new representation, and not just representation for the sake of representation. Like, okay, what are you bringing? I don't care if you're gay, straight, whatever. Like, what is the value that we're actually bringing to our community? Are we spreading wealth? Are we spreading opportunity? You know, what does it mean to have a safe space? It's all these empty fucking words right now that piss me off so much, especially in this, you know, words like BIPOC. Fuck BIPOC. I don't give a fuck about BIPOC.
No one cares about that,
What the fuck does a Gujarati know about me?
Yeah.
What the fuck do I know about a Gujarati or anything like that? You know, something like that. We live very, obviously we have similar experiences. But I come into these circles as a Bangladeshi. Obviously we're at the bottom of the ring. Right. You have all of these things where, okay, it's a whole South Asian scene and everything, but it's always the Indians that will get the top spot, right? So I'm sorry, I saw a lot of goodwill in that and everything, but we have to absolutely carve out our own spaces. From the bottom up, we need to carve out our own spaces. We need to read. We need to educate ourselves into our history. We need to look at the politicians who the winners of history did not write about, the leaders who history did not write about, you know, the activists who history did not write about. You know, the indigenous activists, the feminist activists, the people like that. The people are doing ridiculous work in Dhaka who we never hear about.
Right.
You know?
No, when I first saw your work on social media, it was just me scrolling through my For You page. And I remember seeing the Bangladeshi mixes that you were making. Like, all the songs that I heard growing up in my parents' home, in my grandparents' home, you were mixing that with, like, Western fusion.
Yeah.
You know? And that was the first time where I heard Bangla music in a more modern way.
Yeah.
And then also on top of that, when I was like researching you, I saw that you have, you know, dishy, not dissy, right? And I feel like that small letter with the H, right?
Yeah.
It makes such a big difference because, you know, we do see South Asian representation and we see a lot of the Indian people taking up the space and even Pakistanis now and this and that, which is great. But like we've never had our own people in our own space. And that's not to say that we're not including the rest of the people, but like growing up, I'm sure you felt like this. You didn't feel as welcome to the other spaces, right?
Not.
And I'm sure that wasn't their intention.
No.
But it was because they were the central people gaining the wins and, you know, getting up there. Yeah. So they were making their own space for their people and others as well. But it's time that we make our own space 100%, for ourselves and also other people.
100%. 100%. And we need to look into, okay, what can we use if we want to build this new myth of who we are as the Bengalis? Mm. What do we take from our history? Mm-hmm. You know, I look into, like, we have lost our touch with, first of all, the nature of Bangladesh, something we don't talk about enough. The nature, the biodiversity, like the beaches, the stuff like that. I feel like we've gone so much into, like, anytime we talk about Bangladeshi stuff, we talk about either textiles or we talk about, like, I don't know, something like that. There's, like, I don't know. I say this, but also there's another way of going about it that also we just need. It could be a supply side thing where it's like the Indians have so much IP to talk about. They have so many songs to talk about, movies to talk about, books to talk about, you know? And we've lacked funding in the arts for so long in Bangladesh that we don't have any of this.
Yeah.
I want to now tell you, I want to give you a bunch of references about a lot of this natural beauty and stuff, but y'all won't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't know. And I will even struggle to describe it myself. And I've only been lucky to see a little bit with my own eyes, but it's like, dude, it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Fucking sick. St. Martin's fucking sick.
Yeah. Right. They got no one's
fucking sick. Like, right. Parts of Scylla, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, parts of Mymensingh, parts of stuff like that. There's ancient ruins. I'm so schizo about this shit, yo. Like,
okay.
You know, like, I say this, but then I come back to, like, every time I go back to Bangladesh, I'm like, I don't know how we haven't imploded yet. You see how, like, the traffic laws and then the corruption and then, like, all of the headlines in the newspaper and then internally you hear things about the industry, you know, and it's just like, how are we even surviving as a nation? I don't know how we're keeping it together.
Where does this, like, passion for, like, the betterment of Bangladesh come from for you? Because, you know, there are so many people in Bangladesh and I feel like the vast majority of them are just like, yes, I'm Bengali, but, like, I am just trying to make the best out of my life. I'm just trying to keep my head above water. They don't really have the time to, like, invest into learning all about this and caring all about it and being vocal about it. So, like, where does that come from for you?
And not everybody should.
Yeah.
Not everybody should try to be this, like, whole, you know, I am an artist. And I am an artist that specifically is branding myself on where I come from. On top of that, we live in an age where it's good to brand yourself on where you come from. The uniqueness, especially if you're, you know, non-white. Like, there's a value in that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this, right?
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
We live in a post-DEI world. And I think all of us know some pros of DEI and some cons of DEI, right? But I don't know, man. This just comes from, like, I don't know. I don't know. Some people have it. Some people don't. I just see it. I grew up very privileged, you know. I went to a nice English medium school, nice community, you know, like, where we dumb rich, nothing close to that, but always food on the table, always new clothes, a vacation every now and then. We lived good, you know. We lived good. And you can't say that for the overwhelming majority of people.
Of course,
And you know, you just go back and you see what's up. You see these people. You see everybody struggling. I come to Canada and every time I go back, it still hits me.
Yeah.
The sheer amount of poverty is fucking striking.
No, even us going back after 20 years last year, the reason why me and my brother didn't want to go back since the first time when we were like five or six, it was because of the poverty. We were so sad when we went there. Yeah. We're like, We can't, as 6-year-olds, do anything about this.
And
so,
do you know what, like, and 6 years old? Okay. Yeah. If you're young, that's not a problem. But, like, you know, even a lot of older people have this sentiment. And then, like, I also understand why then a bunch of locals are going to be like, boo fucking who? Like, fuck your, you know, we're all just trying to survive here, you know? Like, you know, fuck, you're out here in Canada, like, talking, like, we're actually in the trenches, like, working it out. And I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, the people have a right to have that. But, you know, the classic, you're on the road and there's just like beggars banging on your door and you're just having a conversation with your family like nothing's
just
ever happening.
To mute it out. Yeah.
And it's like, it's a cashless society. Like, sorry, I don't have a tenner on me. Like, you know, it's just like, and every time I go back, it still hits me like, fuck, you know, this is not normal.
Yeah.
Like, it's normal there and this shouldn't be normal. You know?
Tell me about like the pressure that you feel like you have on your shoulders by like carrying Bangladesh, kind of like, and like representing yourself as a Bangladeshi. Much pressure. No.
Like, where's the pressure coming from?
Pressure as in like, you know, to present yourself in a certain way.
I think it's a low pressure. Mm-hmm. Low pressure situation. Being a Bangladeshi ambassador, it's low pressure. It's not that high pressure. Mm-hmm. It's fun. People don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's no like, oh, you said something, but I don't give a fuck. Like, you know, it's like we have nothing.
Yeah.
We have nothing, guys. Mm-hmm. We have nothing. Name one Bangladeshi musician. Really make, like, you know.
Yeah,
I could end it there.
I love how you looked at me.
You know,
like, I mean, like, I could literally end it there. This.
You know, there's people in the pop scene in Bangladesh that are doing stuff that are funded by various things. There's always going to be this certain commercial side of music from anywhere, because there's all going to be always going to be entrepreneurial people who know that they can make money from that. Mm-hmm. But is it soulful music? Is it music that helps people? No. You know, where are we? And now that I've been in this industry for a while, I now do know. Like, I could refute that question if I asked myself that. Like, I do know some people who are doing bits in the industry, be them in fashion or journalism or whatever it is. There's awesome politicians.
Yeah.
There's awesome people like that, you know.
Yeah, I feel like us also being in this space, we're starting to know more Bangladeshi creatives in this generation.
In every major city that has a big Bangladeshi population, there is like a future Bangladeshi Mamdani, you know, something like that. There's inspirational people like that in every major part. But we have our work cut out for us.
Yeah.
We need to tell these stories. There's been a lot of stuff in our history that we need to come to terms with.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in, like, you know, our class warfare, our colorism, our misogyny, our... And again, like, fucking, we're talking about this shit in a penthouse in Toronto.
It's
like,
who are we?
We need to be so aware of how almost this doesn't even matter. What I'm doing almost doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
What a lot of us are doing here doesn't even matter, because if the country itself doesn't figure itself out, I'm gonna be flailing till I retire. You know.
So what do you feel like, you know? Because like you said, we have the talent. You know, we have the beautiful people. We have the culture. We have like everything that we need in Bangladesh is in Bangladesh. So what do you feel like we're missing? Like, what do we need more of to like allow these people to flourish?
We're missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
we're missing a lot of stuff, you know. And I want to come from this like really from a non-emotional standpoint, you know. I think the rest of this has been really emotionally charged, but like, it's some simple stuff. Like, I think one thing we need to learn how to do is, and this is gonna almost sound like, what's the counterintuitive, but there's a certain status quo that has the power in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
They have the money. They have the resources. If I wanted to make the next, like, Golden Lion winning film of Bangladesh, anything, I'll need support from some of the status quo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to learn how to bargain with these people. You know? We need to learn how to swim with the sharks. We need to learn how to talk business. We need to learn how to bargain with these people. Because if we are going to get this power back, it's going to be a bargain.
Yeah.
Because if we grab it, we just become trouble. Like them.
Yeah.
Look where we are right now. You know, revolutions shouldn't be grabbed.
Yeah.
You know, we've had many revolutions in our lifetimes, right? We've seen Arab Spring. We've seen Occupy Wall Street. We've seen a lot of stuff like that. All of them have fizzled out, right? All of them become this big, you know, thing. And then we hear about, the one of these leaders became corrupt, embezzled a bunch of money, or one of these leaders. Like, you know, you just hear a bunch of shitty things or whatever, and the revolution dies out, right? Mm-hmm. Don't grab. This is not a movie. You know, we... Talk to government. Okay, radical Islamic government coming in next. I don't give a fuck. I will talk to them. Mm. We have some middle ground. You know? We may have different beliefs on how things should be treated, but I'm Bangladeshi, they're Bangladeshi.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find something. I need to find funding for the arts. We need to start sending our musicians, not only sending them abroad for ambassadorial missions like that, but also set up some shows in Bangladesh. All of the venues in Bangladesh are too expensive. Okay? The only real venue in Dhaka is Aloki. Aloki is like 6-7 lakhs. Just to book. Mm-hmm. There's no sound system there. So you need to build a stage and a sound system. You want to spend 10, 15 grand? You know? Mm-hmm. Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that without some sponsorship money from like a fucking cigarette company? Which is what the entire Bangladeshi music industry runs on. Cigarette money.
Mm.
Yeah? And I love BAT.
Yeah.
I love BAT. Yeah. They've supported me so much.
Yeah.
You know? But at the end of the day, a cigarette company cannot be the major... funder of the arts in a country.
Some real.
You know?
Some real, yeah.
Like, that can't be the central
That can't
funder.
Be the center of it. Yeah. You know? We need to just... There's so much money in this country, you know? I'm going to do my little part to siphon it into the arts as much as I can. But then there needs to be other stuff that's happening, because it needs to get funneled into other stuff. I don't know, building houses, building education, building stuff like that.
Mm.
how is this going to happen? I don't know, dude. The fundamentals aren't great for the next 4 or 5 years.
It's a structural problem, too. You know, it's like for America, it is corrupt. There are things that the normal person can't just fix, you know, but at least we have a system where we can call our electives or, you know, make some change by the voting system or us posting on social media and after a couple of years or whatever it is. But there's like a national urgency where people can be united. Whereas in Bangladesh, there are people that unite together, but there's more, I guess, the government has more of a say at the end of the day.
You know. And but also powerful also. There's a big like non-government component as well of Bangladesh where it's just the rich, powerful land and wealth people. A lot of people whose names we'll never know, who will be in the shadows, but who are running a lot of things. I don't want to get too conspiratorial about it. But, you know, it's just like, I'm going to do as much as I can from my perspective. Like, I basically have always dreamt of being Bangladesh's first international breakout artist, period. You know? I want to be that person that's like, you know, so if there is any pressure, it's me putting pressure on myself. Because nobody in Bangladesh is asking for a breakout artist right now. It's not like that's something the country necessarily needs. It's a purely almost egotistical, narcissistic dream of mine, maybe. You know, a lot of people could say it like that. But I care about a lot of this stuff because I understand that, like, for me, I don't want to be an ambassador of something that I'm not actually putting any work into. You know? Why the fuck am I getting up in the morning? Why am I choosing to do this? I am dead broke all the time. I'm a DJ. I'm a musician. You know, I am like the money, the cash flow is very hard in this business. Sometimes you're balling. Sometimes three events haven't paid you. You know, in a while. And there's no union. There's no anything like that. So it's unstable. So I have an economics degree from a good uni. Like I could be getting into any job. You know, I'm choosing to do this because I am uniquely capable, first musically. I have the skills to do this. I think I can do this better than a lot of people. So I'm going to take that shot. But, geez, someone has to do it.
Someone has to,
Fucking someone has to do it.
I remember the first time I heard a mix of yours. I think it really did just blow my mind. Because, like, it's such a simple, fickle thought. But just the fact that you can hear, you know, Krishna mix with some generic techno house mix, just like, you know, we say these words and it's just obviously, but the fact that someone made it and, you know, it brings you back to decades,
like, it's just take an old sample, put it on a Western beat. What I think is remarkable really of what happens there is that I make these songs, a full Bangladeshi team of promoters make money from playing these songs live to a group of 200, 300 Bangladeshis.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's what's spectacular. Is that this song, and then Arini is playing it in New York, and then this Munasib is playing it in Australia, and this person is playing it in Nepal, and this person is playing it in London.
It's like a worldwide sensation.
That's what's spectacular, is that the actual value is now being distributed. I believe in the distribution of value. Make money. There people have this capitalism. Making money is bad. Making money is not bad. Necessarily, right?
It depends how you make it and what you do with it.
Yeah, it's the distribution of the money.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about it. You know, now we have so many South Asian collectives. We have people, we're all playing each other's as remixes. Now, what I also really, really melts my heart, I'm so happy, is that a lot of DJs in India are playing my music.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people who play only Hindi music or Urdu music. You know, people in Chandigarh, people in Punjab, people in Hyderabad, people in, you know, Bombay, Delhi, places like that, they're playing my Bangladeshi remixes.
That's amazing.
You know, this country that has looked down, again, let's be honest, on our music, on our arts for so long, is actually starting to, like, spread our shit.
Yeah.
It's not just my remixes, some of Kadeen's remixes, some of people like that. Ashif from Germany, it's people like that. We're meeting all these cool people. Last time I was in the UK, I had this amazing show with Kipash there where we had an all-Bengali cast. You know, we had Shama Anwar, Raida Mirza, Hasnat. Hasnat is amazing. All of your audience should check out Hasnat. Hasnat is an incredible artist. Surya Sen. And we had an honorary Bengali, Kalbaisaki. He's Indian, but, you know, he's
honorary
Bengali for us. He was in London at the time, a big homie.
I've watched the Kipash Daga on repeat. I've watched all their mixes all the time. Even when it was announced, I think I brought up to her. I was like, this is fucking crazy. The fact that something like that is happening over here. What was that like? Can I hear a little bit about that?
Honestly, when it happened, like, I didn't think it was going to blow up like that, to be honest. Like, I didn't think it was going to, like, it's still, like, Keep Hush's like biggest performing piece of content. It's still the
what
top
do you think about it?
Oh, it's their biggest one.
Yeah, it's got like 60k likes. Wow. Like, damn. MIA followed me from that. Wow. Like, all sorts of random people followed me from that.
What do you think about it blew up? Was it the music, like the energy
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, fuck, I guess it was just like cool even and like new. And it was like a different desi flavor, like to, you know, the normal kind of like East meets West kind of shit that you see. I think there was something cool. I think we looked cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think everybody looked really cool. We were in our like kind of like garb, but you know, we still had I don't know, we still brought a little flair to
it. Everyone was fly,
you know, all the girls looked beautiful. Yeah. Like everybody was fitted out.
And everyone
like,
was so good too.
Everybody was fantastic. Everybody's sets were so good. And that thing really helped me out. Like that thing really helped me gain a lot of legitimacy in the DJ scene. Cause I got into DJing for like very unfortunate reasons. I got into DJing because like I'm sure y'all are wondering why I stopped singing, right? Or why I stopped singing.
Yeah, that was the question, yeah.
And it's because I got into like all sorts of terrible, horrible legal shit with like ex-label, ex-management, stuff like that. I signed a deal when I was really young. I also, there's a, maybe I'll say this.
Little exclusive.
The little exclusive.
We got the exclusive for you.
I got kicked out of school in Malaysia.
Oh.
Oh my lord.
High school?
Bad. Oh my lord.
High school?
Which was bad.
I got no
high
why.
School. You were, and like, you know, my mom was there. Like,
well, you were fighting.
Whole family out here.
She was mad.
Idiot kid. Fucking things up.
What happened? You were fighting. Your GPA.
It's all let's the above. Let's say it was, you know, let's say it could have got me into a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Let's say. Let's
y'all,
say
y'all won't know that
of,
one.
A little bit of upselling to to some dumb seniors.
Okay. That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
But I signed a deal right after that, or right around then, I got my deal
offer.
Did
you do it by yourself when you signed it? Did you have a lawyer?
Pretty much.
Oh my god.
So we like, you know, we found a lawyer in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Dude, there's like, back to like the, like there's no fucking entertainment lawyers. Like who do I?
Hey, what's up y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Go to. There's a couple, but they're all like weird sleazeballs. Like,
yeah. They're not going to be
there. There aren't any ethical ones.
Like there aren't cool ones. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, you, like we said it to this guy, but it was like pointless. And like, you know, years later, where I found out a lot of things about the contract that would screw me over.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, this guy never fucking mentioned any of this shit.
He probably didn't even know about it or care to.
I don't know.
Tell you.
And it's just like I signed when I was in a really desperate position. My grades were trash. I just needed it. So I would have signed anything.
Yeah,
you know, I would have fucking signed. They could have changed my legal name. I would fucking sign
right.
Fuck
anything
takes,
to get out of there.
It takes.
You know, and I was graduating. I had a 2.7 GPA. Not one internship
like
lined up.
He had a 2.6.
Broski.
Yeah.
C's get proper C's get degrees type shit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Like I had no job prospects, no nothing, no money coming in. We had really, really fucked it up. By the end of it, me and my team, I'm going to be nice when I say me and my team, because basically right. Just one other guy.
It's you and a guy.
But, like, we really, really were so, so, so stupid how we were running this whole thing by the end of it. So, so, so silly. Just financially irresponsible, not creative enough. We really, really fucked things up. So I lost a lot of momentum with that. I had to pay my bills.
Of course.
I had to figure something out. So what happened was one of my last big shows in Dhaka was done by Pai Pai, who organized a lot of it, right?
Yeah,
so
Pai
Pai is this
they're
dance
nice,
collective
yeah.
in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
I saw them DJing. I'm like, "Acha, era jodi pare, ami to parbo bhai. Ami to 10 bochor gaan shikhe eshechi. Ami to
ekটু tipati." Just gonna spin something.
So then like I learned it and it was cool. And then I came back to Canada. I was like, "Dude, there's like tens of thousands, not tens of thousands, but like thousands probably of young Bangladeshis, probably tens of thousands of Bangladeshis, but my particular demographic of like uni kids, they're kind of alt, they're kind of edgy, they're kind of secular, they listen to cool up and coming Western music like that, but they're still like, they want to rep their Bangla shit, you know, they don't want to completely become coconuts, they don't want to completely Westernize.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, okay, that's a cool market because I am them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm basically those people. But these are also people that are going to be in this country to stay, mm-hmm. right? We come to this country to stay. Let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. If I can be that person during their uni years, that's like, yo, remember when we were in undergrad and like we used to go to those Damir raves?
Yeah.
And it was the only place that we could be Bangladeshi and like we could dress however the fuck we wanted.
Yeah.
But like it was still cool.
Yeah.
And there wasn't like, you know, weird guys, and there wasn't like weird like we could be ourselves, but it was still Bangladeshi.
Mm-hmm.
And now that guy is playing these big tours everywhere, and now he's got these big songs everywhere, but we will never forget those times. And I just knew, I had heard enough stories from enough DJs and enough musicians that if you put in that work, especially in those early 20s years, because mm-hmm. these are some of the happiest years of our lives, mm-hmm. right? These are some of like some unforgettable years for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hit that.
Yeah.
I wanted to make those memories for people, you know? And have we always succeeded in that? No. We've had some rough shows.
Yeah.
Right,
we've
right.
had some rough shows.
You got to get
yeah.
through it. You got to get through it.
Some shows are lit. Some shows are fucking depressing. Some yeah. shows right. are like, you know, people don't show up.
Have
people,
yeah, yeah. You can't always yeah. have 100%.
And
yeah.
another fucking annoying thing about Bangladesh is just one thing to my crowd.
Last one, y'all.
Y'all pay my bills and like I love y'all. Yeah. But y'all cannot, please stop everybody going for a smoke break at the same time.
Right, like, space it out. Space it out, y'all. One by one.
60% of the dance floor. Why is all just y'all gotta leave? In one. It's like, what the fuck, dude? It's yeah. like, what do I tell to my DJs? Like, what? Did everybody leave? Like, no, we're all just looking at it.
But that's they probably funny. Saw one exit, funny. So they're like, oh, we might as well all exit
that's
at the same
what's
time.
Sad, that's because funny. In Bangladesh, you can smoke anywhere. So I think, right, right. It's just like in Bangladesh, at the raves, you smoke inside, so nobody yeah. goes anywhere. But here's just everybody leaves for a smoke break at the same time. So
you know,
annoying.
I'm so curious to hear what the underground rave scene is like in Bangladesh, because yeah. like after discovering your music and then just finding the network of other Bangladeshi artists and yeah. DJs, I didn't realize how big of a thing it was in Bangladesh, especially in yeah. our age bracket. Because when Mushuna went to Bangladesh last year,
yeah.
he went out, he went to the lounges, he did all the cool stuff, right? He went out with his cousins around his age. But yeah. when I went to Bangladesh, I did a very like modest, you yeah. know, like family stuff. Yeah. We went shopping, just normal stuff, what I thought was normal.
Yeah.
And I thought everyone lived like yeah. that, right? But I wasn't aware that there was cool shit in Bangladesh.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. My cousin yeah. took me to a show in Jatara. I thought it was the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I was like, I can't.
I've never done any of that. I didn't even know
it's
that
some
existed.
Dope shit.
Like,
it's
tell
some
me
dope
about
shit.
That.
And on top of that, I just want to also ask, like, I read somewhere that, like, you are trying to, like, modernize Bangla music, like, modernize
yeah.
Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Like, so I want to hear a little bit about, like, what exactly that means.
That
like, coming
means
from your mouth.
Great question. With the underground scene, like you've been seeing it, it's been popping. There's big shows happening. The only thing, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. The only issue I have with the current dance scene, and it's understandable why this is the case. Obviously, dance music is loud and it's for alternative people. And like, it's not very safe to do in a lot of parts of Dhaka. First of all, I mean, you can't get away with noise complaints. There are obviously no clubs, no venues, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So unless it's either at like Aloki, it's the massive show, or it's at some fucking rich dude's house, you know, which is like some massive house somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some places in the middle or something like that. But because of that, I feel like the dance scene is still very much upper class bubbled.
Mm.
Is there a Bangladeshi dance scene, something like that? I'm not convinced that. I'll speak for myself. I don't know if I've built that in what I'm doing so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to play more across Bangladesh. I need to test these things to more audiences in Bangladesh. I want to go to different cities, different unis and stuff like that, play for them. Because I wouldn't be happy saying, okay, there's a cool scene happening, but it's just my, you know, that fucking Gulshan Bonani crowd.
Yeah, like
just coming to every show.
Richer crowd, yeah.
Yeah.
Is dope, but it is like the same crowd coming to every show.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a start.
Of course,
at least that wasn't there even before, even in the upper class circles. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there before, so that's good. Obviously, some other issues with that is like a lot of the rave scenes, there will be elements of like substances, right? There's that sort of sinful side of nightlife, right? That has to be a part of nightlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, it's inescapable from that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a reason why it's kind of difficult to scale. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily then do it all over Dhaka. What I need us to do is to figure out a more sober version of dance music. that we can spread to more parts of Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. Where it's more acceptable. Crowds,
more acceptable stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can actually really walk the walk and make it really about the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just the fact that you can just get lit with a bunch of people.
I feel like that's how it goes. Like when you start something off, it's like, you know, that's like the peak of it. It's people kind of going crazy about it. Then like over time it like levels out and people find like their own balance of it and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's true. Yeah.
But the music industry in general in Bangladesh is not very healthy right now.
No. It's, how so?
Nobody's playing shows too much. Nobody's releasing music like that. Only the rap scene is doing well.
Interesting.
But I need to learn more about the insides of that, because sometimes things can be streaming really well on the outside, and on the inside things it's might not be doing that well. So I don't know. Yeah. But
I remember once I saw this reel. It was like some French Swiss guy who was in Bangladesh playing like a set, and was in the caption was like, oh, 8 a.m. in Bangladesh, he's playing some random techno song, and like all the comments were like hate comments, like they're like, get the hell out of here,
dude. Like yeah, you know, but like hate comments in Bangladesh, you got to take with a grain of salt. Gonna be hate comments for
there's
anything.
Gonna be everything. I get it all the time.
But yeah,
and 8 a.m in Bangladesh, like that was probably, you know, at some like five-star hotels
right
ballroom.
It looked at, like,
so a part of the hate comments, I'm like, yeah dude, I can understand a bunch of people, fuck granted. You like yeah. I can't access this.
Yeah,
in no way would I, you know, go to this, or like I'm not spending $3,000 on a fucking ticket. Usually it's more than $3,000 for a lot of these events. Like, who's gonna fucking spend that?
So earlier in the beginning, you mentioned how a lot of Bangladesh is, and like its culture, its music is very archaic, and like the music industry is very archaic.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, you're trying to push this forward. You're trying to make something new out of this. So tell me a little bit about that. What does modernizing Bangladeshi music mean to you?
So I'll tell you what we shouldn't fuck with, which is, we have an incredible penchant for songwriting and melody.
Mm.
We're good at lyrics and melody. We're good poets.
Yeah, I agree.
Beautiful. We're very good poets. So there's still a very good literary culture. Dhaka University, Jahangir Nagar University still has a really good output of a lot of, I think, literary research, culture. There's always going to be good lyricists out there and stuff like that. We shouldn't fuck with that. The production needs to get better. The beats sound so trash. I mean, they just sound dated, poorly mixed, derivative. They just sound like some Indian shit. They just sound like some other shit. You know, they don't sound Bangladeshi.
Yeah.
The music videos, trash.
Yeah, come on now.
Whack.
Yeah.
Whack, trash, just like...
Yeah, give
just,
me more.
Just, one just more. Despicable, just like fucking...
He went there.
Just,
you got another one?
We've seen this already. This is so 2009. This is so just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's cool people, and there's cool, that like, my homies are doing some cool stuff on the DIY scene. People are doing awesome shit. Afrin is doing awesome shit. Joanna is doing awesome shit. A lot of cool people,
like,
are doing lots
doing?
Of awesome.
Because
they're doing their own music videos. Like, Joanna has Lover Girl. That music video was awesome. I think that was Anush Alamgir, or was it Jonaki that did that? I don't know. But that was really cool. Afrin Modern Otaku's music videos have been really awesome. There's been cool people like that. Also, shouts out the rap scene. Shouts out the Narayanganj scene. Shouts out Shezan, Hannan, Snarebite. Like, all those people. Like, they're really doing the best in the music industry right now. And they've kind of been, like, separate from the Dhaka scene, and maybe good on them for that. Maybe I understand why. They're keeping it to themselves. They're figuring their shit out. So, it's cool. I have so much respect for those guys. But that needs to change. The PR, the stories. You're supposed to tell stories with a rollout, you know?
Yeah.
When, you know, Addison Rae comes out, you know, people like that have this massive industry, you know, thing behind them. And you look at things like an Addison Rae rollout or a Dua Lipa rollout, and it's easy to be kind of like cynical about that. But I like to look at those and be like, what if the most talented people in an industry were paid the most amount to work on this project? This is what they would do, right? Because it's the height of that.
Yeah.
What can we learn from them? They tell these stories. Because I don't know if these people are actually that interesting, right? I don't want to be a hater right now. But it's like me to convince a fucking Bangladeshi dude to think Addison Rae is cool, some random white girl who was on TikTok.
Yeah.
You have to tell me a story. I don't care if the sound is good, and I don't care if she looks hot, right? I need more than that, because there's like so many things that we're going about. What stories are we telling?
Mm-hmm.
What have we been doing recently? What has Nemesis been through recently? What has Indalu been through recently? What has Fuad been through recently? What have we been through as a people recently? What is the pain that we're talking about?
Yeah. There's a lot to say. Well,
so that's what do you feel like Bangladeshis and a lot of people that are non-white, us talking about our identities and our unique stories, and us not using our background and culture as just like our identity to go forward, but just talking about it and letting the world be aware of it. Do you feel like that helps us get more propelled into...
Only if you do it with an agenda.
Yeah.
Which I do. Mm-hmm. Right? And my agenda is like, know about us, because I'm trying to... Again, with full honesty, I'm in the business of selling culture, right? I sell culture.
Yeah.
So it is in my best interest that my culture is well understood and appreciated, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's a chicken or egg thing where I'm like, what do I start with? Is it like I make banging music and then people look, or I try to educate people, tell people like that, and then people think the music is cool after that? Mm-hmm. You know, because... Yeah, I don't know. It's complicated. I don't know. We are all going to have to put our work in.
When you get criticism about your music or what you're doing or just you living your life here, what do you feel like is the biggest type of critique that you get?
When I first started singing, like, I wasn't that good of a singer. Like, I would sing off pitch and stuff like that. It would be stuff like that. I get a lot of people that are, like, gay, you know? I get a lot of just gay... trans,
yeah,
just dudes in this, and I'm just like,
because you're artistic.
Yeah, just because I'm like, you know, just like, I'm wearing I'm wearing right now, but right, like, guys, men in Bangladesh are so fucking insecure. Yeah. They're like, what is he gay?
They're also mad that they can't do what you do.
Yeah, and I have nothing but love for them.
Yeah,
all of my misogynistic, transphobic, all these haters, I have nothing but love for them. But you all will get better, you know. You are in pain.
Inshallah.
You do this because you are in pain and you hate yourself, you know.
There you go.
Inshallah, you will get better, because you know we can't, you know.
With much love.
It would be so easy for me to just fuck you, you know. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. No, you are in pain.
Yeah.
Okay. You are in pain. You're seeing this, and something is offending you about what I'm doing, and that's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nice.
You couldn't be having as much fun as I'm having. Yeah. If you just did it, it's not that deep, you know?
Speaking of having fun, I wanna know more about like the good things about Bangladesh. You know, I want like an inside scoop. You know, we're out here in New York City in Florida. We know absolutely nothing about what it is over there. I go once every 6 years, she went after 20 years. We know absolutely nothing, you know, and of course everyone in the world understands that there's so much that there is to be worked on over there, but simultaneously there's infinite beautiful things about the place and beautiful just like little luxuries, and just like even like when I go and I hear, you know, fucking just like three uncles just yelling at each other, but like they're not actually, it's just like these are like beautiful moments that like you can't explain this to someone, or at least someone 100%. Like me can't, you know.
Even the street traffic, like seeing that, 100%. You feel at home, the smell, the smog, you know?
The azan, the sound of the azan.
Oh my god,
You know? Call for prayer. So I would love to know from you, like, what do you wish, like, people would, like, highlight more about
Bangladesh? It's the best country in the world.
Yeah.
It's the best country in the world.
That's a hot take.
Our people are the coolest. See, to be cool in... And I'll speak for Dhaka even. I can't speak for the rest of Bangladesh, but I'm sure the rest of Bangladesh is very similar. But I'll speak for Dhaka. Like, if you are cool in Dhaka and you've kept your morals up and you're doing innovative things and you're helping your community, the strength and willpower it takes to do that is so much higher that the cool people in Dhaka are the coolest people you will ever meet.
Yeah.
With adventures like you've never heard of. Mm. Travel adventures and things like that. Just Bangladeshi people are some of the most knowledgeable. Some people, like the real Dhakites, real people like that, when you get in there and really meet, like, they'll know everything. They'll know the history of the streets. They'll know people that have been shot here. They'll know, you know, movies that have been shot here. They'll know all sorts of that. They'll know political histories. They'll know they know the travel journals of Ibn Battuta, and like how Ibn Battuta came through Chittagong in the 15th century or some fucking shit. Like, I don't know if I got the numbers right or whatever. But like, you know, just fucking cultural nerds like that, people like that. There's a deep love for the arts. Deep love for the arts. I know you contradicted a little bit some when we were talking about it earlier, but a specific circle of Bangladeshis, you know, specific circle of like just these artsy hippie Dhakites, you know, they're some of the coolest people you'll ever meet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're baggy clothes and they're, you know, fucking tote bags and shit.
They're just doing their thing.
And they'll tell you anything about anything, you know. The food.
Right.
Some of the best underrated food in the world.
Underrated food.
Right.
Incredible food. Yeah. The hosting culture, obviously, is incredible. The... tourism, domestic tourism in Bangladesh is so fire, honestly, recently.
What do you mean?
It's so fire because there's lots of cool places in Chittagong now. A lot of cool places in Sylhet now. There's old Mughal architecture. There's the Hosseini Dalan in Dhaka. That's really cool. There's the Armani Church, the Armenian Church, the Armani Girja, which was built, I think, like 200-300 years ago. That's in Puran Dhaka.
Oh.
You can find tombstones of people from like the 1700s, 1800s, shit like
that.
Oh
my God. Dhaka.
Lalbagh
and everything.
Hosseini Dalan is really cool. It pains me to see how, you know, we're such a religious country, but we treat some of our old mosques so poorly. This beautiful pond in the middle of Hosseini Dalan, and it's just fucking like dead fish and
trash.
Chips packets and trash and shit there. And it's so sad because it's one of the oldest like Mughal
even
like
the lake
structures we have in
the
Dhaka.
Lake next to Lalbagh or the Pink Palace. That lake is like,
yeah, it's full of shit.
Smelly.
Yeah, I went canoeing in there. Yeah,
you like one of the boats, right?
Alone there. Yeah, it's a vibe.
It's not the maybe the architecture, the infrastructure of Bangladesh, they're not taking care of.
It's just I hate, you know, you come here and you want to fight some stereotypes, but it's hard.
Because
some of them are like, we're such a there's so much fucking trash all over Bangladesh. There's no reason we don't follow the traffic. No, there's trash everywhere.
And we're back.
People do be, you know.
We got fixed about
could
this,
be
yeah.
using some more, you know, deodorant sometimes. It's tough. I hate to say
a little
it.
Bit,
you
yeah.
know?
A little bit.
But there's, you know, pros and cons to everything.
Pros and cons to everything, you know. But yeah, man, there's all of that. Bangladesh is also in a very exciting time. Things are uncomfortable right now because we have new leadership. There's a power vacuum. What's going to happen to the future? But let's not forget that we have a bunch of 20-somethings running a country.
Yeah, it's new generation,
You know? This is remarkable.
Yeah.
This is really, really remarkable. This doesn't happen to everybody.
Nah.
This doesn't happen to every nation. We have a strong economy. We have, you know, now remittances bounce back up. We do have, you know, I wish we had some better situation in the startup sector. We used to have a nice tech scene. We used to have a nice startup scene. It's pretty dead now. But there's all these sorts of cool entrepreneurships happening in Bangladesh, you know?
Yeah.
People who succeed in Bangladesh succeed despite so much that they're one of the most interesting people in the world. I see successful people in Canada, successful people in America, stuff like that. And sometimes I can't help but feel not that impressed, you know? I'm sorry, you had this structure, you had this industry, you had this. That doesn't mean you didn't work hard.
Yeah.
But for someone to bounce back from everything you have to deal with in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
It's special, man. So, yeah.
Damn.
What do you feel? I mean, this is kind of a pivot, but like, you said that you getting all these shows and having a background in economics, and sometimes it's hard to, you know, get shows and get the money from it. What I know, the representation and like positively trying to showcase Bangladeshi culture in a positive way is what fuels you. But like, how do you feel like it actually propels you? Because, you know, sometimes you need to have,
I think,
money.
It's a crutch.
Yeah.
I think it can really, like, I mean, it's a bet, basically. If you're doing this sort of thing where it's like, okay, it's a new genre, new sound, new story, if you get it right and then it blows up, okay, then you have first mover's advantage.
Yeah,
then you get the whole spoils, you know. Like, but you also then have to eat shit for many years where people don't get it. And I have this base right now because there's a lot of Bangladeshis in Toronto, and that's great. But I'm not touring like crazy. I'm not getting bookings like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not getting stuff like, you know, people so interested in the Bangla stuff that it's like, okay, this is what's next up. I still have to prove people.
Yeah.
I still have a chip on my shoulder. So I think it's been a crutch. If this works out, I'm going to be balling.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but if it doesn't, and it very well might not.
Yeah.
I'm going to be struggling forever.
Nah, man, you're on a good path.
You're on a good path. And I think it's also important to have foresight and have so much faith in yourself. But also, there's so many people who they're supporting you and they have faith in you as well.
Yeah.
Because this is just the beginning of a revolution in the West. And then our music and culture just becoming the new wave. Because we've had South Asian Hindi music, you know, this and that. We've talked about it before. We've had that wave and it's still going on.
Yeah.
But we haven't had our artists like get to the top, right?
Yeah.
So like, we know it's coming. We don't know exactly when, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're just like waiting on that come up.
Yeah.
But like, having that discipline and pushing yourself through it, having that faith, is such an admirable thing. Because, you know, not making as much money or not getting that support right away, you don't, you know, you know, we're humbly growing.
Yeah.
It's hard, but like, you're still
also, I might not get PR. Like, Canada doesn't give PR to artists. So I am, you know, my family spent all of their money ever trying to put me, you know, through uni here. And I'm on this music shit, and I might fuck all of that up if I, if, you know, if this shit doesn't work out like that. So I've taken immense amounts of risk. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really, really stressful.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it's going to work out. And, you know, there's just like constant moments of like, I'm going to be the biggest thing ever. And moments of like, I'm going to fucking die broke. And
it's self-doubt, but then also it's like self-doubt, but then also your own, not cockiness, but confidence coming in.
Yeah. With one another, yeah. You know? And there's also a scary thing of like, am I going to be someone who walks or someone after me can run? Because that's also something I want.
Yeah, I want that.
That's something good. That's but, like, I also don't want to be a martyr.
Yeah.
You know? Like, for what? I want to ball out. You know,
right. Obviously. You're on a good path, man.
Get
I feel like.
You go on vacation. Get a little.
Where are we going on vacation?
Get a little BMW.
Oh, okay. On vacation? Or
M5. On the vacation? Fly back.
I can't even drive. I don't even learn how to drive. I'm talking about cars.
We need to get a license. We need to get a license immediately. Yeah. And then we can.
Are you like in like the learning process or it's dudded?
You've never attempted?
No.
You just want the Beamer just to, at the crib.
Just to have it.
Just to flick up with it. Yeah. That makes sense.
Are we
sense.
Getting a home before
like
we get a Beamer?
Or like a Toyota, white Toyota hatchback. He's
open-minded. He's open-minded.
He's open-minded, bro.
He's beat up. Some subs in.
Right, man. He's ready to go.
Dirk in the
now he's American.
Toyota Corolla.
Now he's from Chicago.
Now he's in Corolla.
This is a global man we got on the podcast.
He's open-minded. He likes multiple cars. He just needs to get a license.
Ladies.
I need to find a wife.
He needs to find a wife in America.
More of the story. Circle back to this. Please marry me.
The episode's title is "Please Marry."
Please marry Tom.
I will do anything for
anything.
Yeah.
Citizenship, a visa, and a car in America.
Yeah, I want. I've never. It's so conflicting because you know. It's
yeah. Talk about it.
You're seeing the downfall of the West slowly. But I also really want the passport, and it's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
it's just like
Trump, we've seen
the bear market
before.
For West right now, and like I still want to like, and I don't want to.
Right, man. There's.
I don't
it's
know.
Just untapped. It's untapped.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Hey, man. Damir, thank you so much, man. I'm not gonna lie. I've been like quite speechless this entire episode. I've just been intaking like everything that you're saying. It's absolutely
so much.
We have so much more that we can say.
So much to talk about. So much to go over. Like you know, this is gonna be a long process, and we really have our work cut out for us. But like, I'm so happy y'all had me on for this.
Of course,
man. Fuck,
you thought of me.
Honestly,
wish y'all were able to catch a show, but we'll plan that next time. Yeah, next time we have a really big one in Toronto. I'll let y'all know.
Yeah, please.
And y'all should
please.
Come here.
We will.
And I want to also like when y'all are back here next, I want to have a bunch of other people. I want to introduce y'all to a bunch of other people. There's Raf Reza, veteran Bangladeshi DJ in Toronto. There's a bunch of all sorts of other cool people. There's Dolly Begum, NDP, mayor of Danforth, politician. She's really cool.
Oh, my God.
There's someone named Mimosa, who's a professional florist.
Oh,
Bangladeshi. All sorts of cool people. Priya Halladar, she's a stylist. Yeah. She's Bangladeshi. She styled some of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All sorts of cool people based in Toronto that I'd love to, you know, put on that should have a spotlight on them.
I love the fact that not only as you're growing, you know, you're supporting other Bangladeshi creatives and artists and things like that, but you give them their flowers.
Yeah, very
too.
Clearly.
Yeah, you got it.
You're
you
happy to.
But it's not like I'm not, you know, I'm not Jesus. Like it's, you know, we want, we help each other.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope if they don't show me that same love back though, I won't do this forever.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So this needs to be something collaborative with all of us. You know,
yeah.
Where we keep showing each other love and we keep supporting each other. You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll figure it out.
We got so much to get into. I got some rapid fire questions from you just to wrap this
just
up.
Just some silly goose ones.
Don't think about it too much. Just whatever comes to mind.
Immediately what comes to mind, okay?
Immediately,
don't
actually
think about it.
What is your best concert/DJ set like moment or experience? Like interaction you've had, just like something that just really stuck.
I've been very fortunate. I've had some really nice shows. There's this one time, though, that, like, one of my earliest shows where I played a show at Jatra, and it was just me and a guitar. Mm. And it wasn't any... I'm pretty sure that one was just me and a guitar.
You were singing?
But I've done a few Jatra shows. Yeah, I was singing.
Wow.
And like we sold out the first band. That was the old Jatra. It was pretty small.
Yeah, I'm
still like a pretty early artist there. But like basically I sold it out twice. So we did the first show and then the promoters are like, there's like 100 people like waiting outside. Yeah. That was like, yeah, well, we sold out. And I was like, no, but they still want to come. So I'm like, okay, I'll do this whole set again right after
night.
This batch.
Wow, the same
and we'll
night.
Make double the money.
Wow.
And that was like unprompted or anything. Like I just, you know, announced the show and like there was that many people that wanted to come see me. So that was like, oh, wow. You know, there's some cool stuff like that. And I've done some other, you know, I've done some big shows, but the big shows are really like, I really need to do my job and I really need to stay focused. So I don't like take it in so much. Yep. But some of the small ones, you like, you can kind of like stay in the moment a little bit and like, you know, interact with
the people.
So
that's
nice. Yeah, I love that.
I'm sure you have a lot to say about this. So, We could keep it short. What are your thoughts on just like Western Bangladesh, like Western Bengali people?
Western Bengalis,
like, people like us.
Y'all just gotta learn about the culture more. Yeah. You know, it's out there. You know, there's ways you can learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't learn just for the sake of learning. You know,
actually be passionate.
Learn more about our history. But we have some of the most interesting history of any fucking country in the world. Our political history, our all sorts of history. We've been through all sorts of shit. You know, it's really cool.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we know absolutely fuck not. We got work to do.
Yeah.
Really. What is the best piece of advice you've ever heard?
Right.
That's a good one. I don't even know my answer.
Don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because as an artist, you get a lot of unsolicited advice.
I like that.
You know, you should sing a bit different. You should do this a bit different. You should work with this person. Or you shouldn't work with this person. It's like,
or
shut the fuck up. Like, I fucking, you know, if you've been through this, if you've done stuff like that, I'll listen to you. But
like
a lot of people talk a lot of shit.
I like that. That's beautiful. Like,
if I listened to all the advice that I had when I first started my career, I would still be in my hometown. Working as a teacher.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
Clothing brand. Got it all. Damir, what's your hot take?
Hot take?
Just
there was so many.
You honestly gave us 42, but you know, just
for hot take, but it doesn't even have to be about.
I'm gonna put this in a clip, just like, what's a hot take?
Yeah.
That will get us viral.
Let me think about this hard. What will make this go viral?
now he's on the spot. Now he's sweating.
Yeah.
Like, it could be about food, it could be about music, it could be about, like...
No, something that's going to get us, like,
Canadian
hate
people.
I need hate comments on this.
Western, Bengalese,
fuck.
Even more.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to, like, even describe things as hot takes, because they're just my takes.
Okay,
and
okay.
They happen to be hot.
All right. Yeah, just give me one.
Shit, man.
We can also skip it.
Now he's mine's stressing.
Like that. I don't know. I have a lot of hot takes because I'm a pessimistic person. I'm a deeply pessimistic, cynical, annoyed person.
Got it.
I'm rarely
your life
like
is just,
happy.
You're just,
I'm like moving around,
hot takes.
But I'm happy being unhappy.
Okay.
Like I love it.
Oh,
because it's like a little.
You say you're happy being unhappy.
Unhappy,
so
yeah.
Far.
But I just love being annoyed all the time.
Oh,
I'm always annoyed.
That's hot. I mean, yeah, we
so
can accept
like
that.
No, there's like no going up. It's just like.
I'm just frustrated. Why?
You're just fundamentally
why
just.
Why are you doing? Why? Is this what I'm
what?
Like?
That was such
always.
A brown thing.
For
why?
What?
Always.
For what?
Always.
The hand movement.
I'm annoyed at everything. Everyone is doing everything wrong.
Nice.
Oh,
and
then here we go.
Everyone is wrong about everything.
Okay.
Here we go. I'll accept that. Damir, what's your, like, your ideal Friday night? Like
Friday night?
Like a check just hit, you're good. Like you got no, like no stresses.
Ooh, check just hit.
Yeah,
check
he's ready.
Like, what are we doing? It's Friday night. What are we doing? Like, give me the itinerary.
Yeah, depends what city I'm in, but like, you know, my city is Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tons of fun things to do on Friday night. Tons of awesome bars and clubs that are out. And
so you're extroverted. You're going out.
You're outside.
I'm going out.
He's outside.
Or
catch me outside.
I'm getting really, really stoned with my best friend Evan and watching Trailer Park Boys.
Nice.
Oh.
Little balance right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would think that if you're already so extroverted and going out to perform your shows,
yeah, on your
like
off
you just,
day,
wanna
you just
be
want
to be chill at
home. Just
want
to kick it.
That's very true. And that's
right?
Becoming more and more the case
yeah.
as I grow older.
Yeah.
I'm becoming less, you know, and
extroverted.
Already starting like hangovers starting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. We're getting up there, buddy.
Yeah.
We're getting up there.
That's what I don't drink.
But
I'm
yeah.
That's all I got. Damir, cool, thank Damir. You so much, man. This that has been a beautiful, phenomenal. Beautiful time. Yeah. I feel like I've learned so much in like this last 100%. Hour. And I feel like I've been very humbled and I feel very inspired. You know, I really, really do. I feel very inspired to do my part, do my work, and my
duties. We're still rolling, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'll give like one last message, yo. Like, we gotta fucking get our fucking shit together. As Bangladeshis, we need to get our shit together. I want us to figure out a few things. First of all, we need to become homies with West Bengal again. This like India-Bangladesh situation, I don't like this. All Bengalis should be friends, number one. All Bengalis should be friends. Number two, we need to make more movies. Bangladeshi movie people out there, make more movies. I don't think it's the music that really pushes cultures like that. It's the movies. Make the movies. Other than that, yo, shouts out AGT, shouts out Raph, yo, shouts out my sister Zoya, yo, shouts out the whole fucking Toronto gang, shouts out Biba, shouts out Angel, shouts out.
I've never heard of shouts out.
Shouts out Dolly Begum, shouts out fucking Premium Sweets. Hey,
there we go.
Shouts out Jackson High.
Shouts out New York.
Shouts out Mamdani.
Yeah.
Shouts out New York.
He's going.
Please bring me to New York.
Yes, sir. Mamdani, we'll make that happen.
And remember, you know, like, we all think, like, the British came. And they just fucking took everything.
He took it back.
But you know the Battle of Plassey. You know how we lost everything? You know how we fucked everything up?
Huh.
It's because we betrayed ourselves. Yeah. It's because our king was this asshole who nobody fucking liked.
Right.
And his general really didn't fucking like him.
Right.
And the British were like, yo, you don't really like that guy, right? Like, I'll pay you all the money.
Right.
And then, like, defect at this war. And that was the Battle of Plassey. And he agreed. And then the British got everything. So if we don't stick together,
yeah,
we're we'll never end up gonna like make them.
Yeah. Don't let
we'll
history like repeat
them.
Itself.
It started from one battle.
Yeah, yeah.
And from then everything's been fucked. So we got to stick together.
We got to stick together.
Backstab each other. We look out for each other. We redistribute wealth. All right? And, you know.
Community.
Oh, my God.
Protect the dolls.
Damir, where can our supporters find you on the socials and how can they
Damir.dk is my Instagram. Follow me on SoundCloud. Damir, Spotify, Damir, YouTube, Damir.
All that.
I have been DJing a lot recently, and so you'll find a lot of my mixes on SoundCloud, but I am coming out with singing stuff very soon.
Yeah. Beautiful.
New deal signed, all that stuff.
Music
video coming, music video shot,
congratulations.
Final moments of editing.
There we go. You're locked
movies
in.
Coming out. Umid Ashraf, one of the greatest filmmakers that we have in the country. His short film, Death, which I scored, is about to premiere at Fantasia Film Fest in Montreal very soon.
Oh, my God.
Watch that. The short will be out on YouTube soon, but we're making movies. I just did my first acting role. That's going to come out soon. I went to Bangladesh. I did my first acting role. So we're acting. We're dancing.
Golly, this guy.
We're building businesses.
Right.
We're making movies.
Making it happen.
Bangladesh.
And
Bangladesh.
Guys, the best Bangladesh. Thing you can do is support this so we can do more of it.
Yeah.
And we're not just speaking out and performing into the void.
Yeah, lock
like,
in.
We need people to actually watch and listen 100%. And support. Even you guys watching this podcast and listening and then supporting his work and the other people.
I'll send you my PayPal.
right.
I'll send you donation. Tell your local comptroller to fucking bring me like, yeah.
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen.
Sure. What's up, Albany? Like, no, it could be me.
We got Damir.
Damir.
We got Mshnoon. Yeah, we got Mohua. This is Difficult-ish. We hope you guys enjoyed this one. We had the great privilege of having them here.
What a beautiful time, man. What
conversations and his insight on just Bangladesh and like the music world. So
genuinely.
This
yeah.
has been an honor.
Yeah.
But appreciate thank you so
it,
much for
thanks
being here.
Thanks so much, Damir, for coming through.
Appreciate
and,
it.
Toronto episode.
Shout out Toronto. Okay.
We'll see you guys.
Bye.